Hello, friends, and Merry Christmas to everyone around the world. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. The planet is shifting rapidly into the higher dimensions, and I want to thank everyone so much for supporting Out of This World Radio. It's now one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful, wonderful support. During the first hour, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from the United Kingdom. He's on the phone now. He'll be coming on in just a few minutes. And then from 3 to 3:15 today, I'll be giving messages from the Pleiadians, also known as the Seven Sisters, with a wonderful psychic named Asara Adams, who's down in Mount Shasta. The Pleiadians live about 400 light years from this planet. They're human. They look just like us, except they live in a higher dimension. Following these messages, I'll be interviewing a wonderful and famous natural doctor from Brazil. His name is Dr. Caro Roca, and he'll be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference on April 12th here in Olympia, Washington. So if you are in the United States and would like to come, you can meet him as well. I'd like to play this Bing Crosby song. It's a Hawaiian Christmas song, just for a minute. Nathan, if you could do that for me, and then we'll continue with the program. Thanks, Nathan. I appreciate you playing that song. Just a Christmas start to our program. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also like to really thank Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course all the wonderful people, including Nathan as my producer today at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington, just south of Seattle, from April 12th to the 16th. We'll have some amazing people there, and if you register before December 31st, the cost will be only $55 for the entire conference. After January 1st, the cost will be going up to $125. To register, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I can also help you with hotel accommodations and other details as well. After the conference, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Hopi elders in Arizona from April 20th to April 28th. We'll meet in Sedona, then travel north to the Hopi. The cost is $400 per person, and the proceeds of this trip will go half to the Hopi, and the other half will go to a nonprofit children's charity, the Moto Peace Project. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th. The last time I was at Mount Shasta in September, Dhamma, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in my right eye. For the last 40-plus years since college, I've had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, 20/50 vision. This is a true story, and now I have 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes, and that's thanks to Adama. I'm not saying miracles happen all the time, but it is a place for miracles to happen as well. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta, and we also always visit with the people of Hollow Earth. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping, and if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Even though it's only six, it's still a little ways off, six, 7 months off. We are getting quite a few registrations in, so I'm not going to bring a large group down there, so please contact me if you're interested. Finally, next week, a week from today, on December 29th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on Ascension Call with Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project, Linda Selena from Australia, Peter Sterling from Sedona, Arizona, Asara Adams, who will be on my show during this next hour, from Mount Shasta, Jared Rand, a wonderful man who does a lot of prayers and meditation worldwide, Mike Alford from Canada, a wonderful shaman, and Zora, of course, and Zarea from the Hollow Earth. If you'd like to listen to that call, you dial in this number, 641-715-0632. Again, I'll repeat it, and I'll also say it next hour. 641 is the area code, 715-0632. Your access code would be 554387. Again, that's 554387. I will repeat that next hour if you missed it. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from the United Kingdom. Simon, how are you doing, and Merry Christmas to you.
Hello, Ted, and hello to all the listeners. Merry Christmas to you as well. Oh. I'm fine, thank you. Well, nice good. To hear you.
Good, Simon. It's wonderful to have you on. You know, we've had a lot of interesting things happening in the news. And both on your website and my good friend Ulrich from Germany has wrote me this morning a long email about the closing of Gatwick, which is Britain's second largest, busiest civilian airport, due to drones. I'd love your comment on that, Simon.
Well, the established media really made a big deal of it, and not surprising, because something like 120,000 passengers couldn't fly, something like nearly 200 flights, scheduled flights were cancelled, I don't know how many sort of charter flights. Mm-hmm. And it was the second, as you say, it was Britain's second busiest civilian airport, and it was closed for 2 days. Mm. What's not ringing true is that we know that the military were called to the airport. Oh. Now, the BBC even covered this in the official news, although it only appeared on one feed. And what they were saying was that the military had been called to help to restore order because there were so many passengers, you know, in the lobbies and the lounges, and it was a bit difficult.
Right.
But you see, that doesn't make sense, because that's what the police are for. Mm-hmm. That's what the cops do. Mm. If you've got a situation like that, you phone the police. You do not call the military in.
Right.
So with the fact that the military were involved, and indeed on the major news, it happens again, by the way, you guys won't have picked this up yet, but we had another closure just a few hours ago, mm-hmm. and it was closed for 90 minutes. They said it was another drone. But the official spokesman said that we, and I quote something like, we've got a military operation ongoing. So I think that the traffic controllers got some very interesting radar returns mm-hmm. on their screens, and there was a complete shutdown. You see, if you've got a drone, mm-hmm. You know, you just get rid of it. You just shoot it down.
Right.
If it's
right.
one drone, you just send up a police helicopter, and you look for the guys on the ground with the aerial. You know, that's how you do it.
Sure.
So to shut a civilian airport down for 2 days, no. There's a very big story here. So I can't say it was aliens. I can't say anything like that. All I can say is that there was something huge happening, and the fact it was just before Christmas, I think somebody is sending somebody a message. But that's all we've got at the moment, Ted.
Right. Well, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, flies like a duck, it's a duck. And this seems like it could be UFOs there. They wouldn't do this for drones. And the message I keep getting, Simon, as well, is that there's a galactic war. And I think you mentioned this during our last interview, that there's a war going on right now.
Yes, I could say that we've had a Cold War mm-hmm. for quite a few hundred years, but we've seen that become a hot war, mm-hmm. Certainly at different places on the planet. And one of the reasons for doing it at an airport is simply because you can't disguise it.
Right.
There is a huge impact. and whoever it is wants the public. I don't mean they want the public to be to suffer, but they want to reach as many people as they can, because they know that the television, the newspapers, the radio doesn't tell the truth.
Sure.
So the best way to impact people is when they have to have a hardship, and they then start asking questions.
Sure.
So there's 120,000 people who didn't fly. Well, if 120,000 people start asking questions,
my goodness,
then it's a big wake up, isn't it? So
right.
I think that's what's going on here.
I was told by my friends in the Galactic Alliance, the reason why they do crop circles is because they bypass governments, which are often not being completely honest with the truth of alien civilizations beyond this planet, Simon. And so they'll have a crop circle to have to make people start talking. And I think of that. I was in England, of course, a couple of months ago, and I remember there was a crop circle there. And I don't know if there's been anything recently, but I know that they do happen there in the United Kingdom, and we have them here in the United States. But it's a way that I was told for benevolent extraterrestrials to contact humanity so that they again start asking questions.
Absolutely right. What we do have to be careful of is there are fake crop circles.
Okay.
I would just add to it that one of the other reasons is to elevate people's DNA. Mm. You see, if you are spiritual and you go into a crop circle within two to three days of it being created,
mm-hmm.
the energy still resides in the corn,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you can get an elevation, a positive elevation,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be within 48 hours of it being done.
Wow.
You do have to be careful, because I don't think I can say the privilege. I think the privilege in the sense that I had the chance to meet people, and it's important to meet bad people as well as good people, because then you can compare and understand and try and see what's happening.
Sure.
But there is I think your listeners will be horrified,
mm-hmm.
but it's a good wake-up call, in the sense that in Great Britain there is a group of people who effectively go out and fake crop circles.
Oh, really?
And they,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's very sinister.
Hmm.
I spoke to a father and son,
mm-hmm.
who operate this, and they call themselves Team Satan. Team Satan.
Oh my goodness!
And,
wow.
The father,
mm-hmm.
Actually, this isn't third hand, or you know, he actually told me,
mm-hmm.
because he knew who I was, and he said that they literally wait, and then what we call a shadow being, a shadow entity, comes from the fourth dimension in,
mm-hmm.
And shows them how to mark out the crop circle.
Oh, wow.
And they then follow his direction, and they make the crop circle. And I Skyped with him and his son,
mm-hmm.
and I offered them, did they want to break free? And I gave them that offer, and neither of them wanted to break free. They chose to remain in that evil, low density setting. And, you know, that's their choice, and I can't force anybody.
Sure.
But I made the offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we know is that the evils put these fake crop circles out, because if you, as a spiritual person,
mm-hmm.
go into a fake crop circle,
mm-hmm.
your DNA is damaged. Just as a positive crop circle elevates you,
right?
So the satanic one attacks you.
Huh.
So this is why I say to people, do not go into a crop circle unless you've got a proper guide with you,
sure.
and you really know that you're going into a crop circle that's been made by benevolence. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I spoke to both father and son who work in this team. So I absolutely know what I'm saying to you is 100% accurate.
My goodness. Well, I learned something today. Thank you so much, Simon, for pointing that out, because I frankly didn't know that there were people out there.
But very quickly,
yeah,
you're right. There are groups across the world of people who receive downloads,
mm-hmm.
usually at night time, but there are a group of people who have been in communication. This is it's not ongoing now, because the job's been done, but ongoing, so that they would send a message posing a question, and then a crop circle would be written replying to that question in a code. Hmm. And you're absolutely right. They're not discussing with the government. They were actually, off-planet entities were communicating with groups of free-thinking people on the planet.
Interesting.
So that's what was going on, yes.
Interesting. We had a series of crop circles in eastern Washington that wasn't well reported in the press here in the United States, and they were done over a series of years, beginning in 07 or 08, continuing to 2012, and then after December of 2012, which is the end of the Mayan calendar, they stopped, as far as I know. But they were there.
Absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. The whole point about all of this was to take humanity, help humanity up to the transition phase, which mm-hmm. is the 2012. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of very, very important crop circles, 2011, 2012. And once the job was done and we passed successfully through the barrier, mm-hmm. There wasn't really any need to communicate on that level anymore. Mm. So I think we'll still get crop circles, sure. official ones, but there won't be anything in the number. And that's very sad, but it's worth saying that, let's say for every 12 crop circles that you might be aware of, maybe 9 or 10 of them will be fake ones.
Really?
Now.
My goodness.
Now. But before 2012, I would say 85% of crop circles were genuine, but it's completely reversed now mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because they don't need to communicate because we went through 2012 and we successfully passed the boundary.
Sure. Wow. Well, thank you for explaining that, Simon. I just learned something. Thank you.
Well, I think what's excellent is that you had that news as well. The news was that in your part of the world, the crop mm-hmm. circles stopped or diminished after 2012.
Right.
And that's
right.
exactly the same as in Great Britain. After 2012, they almost stopped. So this is a wide, worldwide thing. And the only thing that's coincidental is 2012, the movement across the barrier. So it was successful. Therefore, that wasn't needed anymore.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I started my radio show in November of 2013. And I kept hoping that more crop circles would show up, so I'd just go over there and it'd be fun to see them. But they haven't showed up since, and now it makes sense why, actually.
Yes, yes.
Well, I've been talking a lot, Simon, and I wanted to give you the first. We have quite a lot of questions that have come in worldwide for you. But before we start, I wanted to ask you, what would you like to head off with today?
I'm just going to very briefly, because this is what we call in Great Britain the silly season.
Okay.
Which means that look, news doesn't stop, mm-hmm. but the controlled media have decided that this time of year, they don't want the news. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, you know, pictures of a penguin on a piece of ice mm-hmm. floating down this place and that place, or a polar bear. They're not reporting the news. And to think that the news stops because it's Christmas is just, that's nonsensical. But the official media, who are all about selling a product, which is news, are doing that. But I wanted to talk about the news. I wanted to talk about the Dow Jones. The Dow Jones is predicted to be at the lowest December since 1931.
My goodness.
So
wow.
You had your Wall Street crash in 1929, wasn't it? 1929, 1930?
1929, yeah. I think
1929.
It was October 22nd, 1929.
So
if I'm not
this
mistaken,
is going to be the worst December for the Dow Jones since 1931. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean a huge wallop. It means it's been a gradual decline. Mm-hmm. And on my website 3 weeks ago, I was saying that the rather negative people are trying to attack the United States military. Mm-hmm. And for a very long time now, a lot of the money that the military gets coming illegally, of course, but that's America. That's mm-hmm. what happens in America, illegally through the Dow Jones. So the Dow Jones has been setting off sets of money which have gone to the military for their black projects. And that's very important from the military's perspective mm-hmm. because there's no scrutiny at either the Senate or the house. It's coming straight from the Dow Jones. There's no legal label on it.
Right.
Now, because Trump is being supported by this group of generals, mm-hmm. Trump is very, very supportive of veterans and very supportive of the Constitution, very supportive of America.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided that they're going to attack the generals. So the Dow Jones now is at an incredibly low level. I think it's lost something like 4,000 points mm-hmm. in the last 4 or 5 months.
Hmm.
And this is to attack the military. So what I'm predicting, we should see in January or February, we should start to see some of these indictments being opened because someone's declared war on the United States military. So it's a very interesting situation.
My goodness. Well, once again, that's a very interesting comment on that. Do you think that they'll try, the powers that be will try to keep the stock market down or continue to have it decrease to cause further problems within the economy here? Or?
I think that they're going to try and crash the economy.
Really?
Because they think it's the only way to bring Trump down.
Hmm.
They're going to attempt, I don't suppose you guys have picked any of this up yet, and I don't think it's really in the news at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know yourselves, of course, that the Democrats take control of the House in January.
Right.
And my understanding, from what I've been told, is that they're going to try to see if Deutsche Bank, working with Russia, laundered money for the Trump business, for Trump
mm-hmm.
Towers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see if they can do that. Now, that's where they're going. So they're going to go for that, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they're trying to crash the economy because they believe that that would discredit Trump. So they're so hell-bent on destroying Trump that they're going to put people through pain. So it's just partisan, and it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Mm.
But that's where it's going. So watch for that in January.
Fascinating. My goodness. Well, I you know, as with most things with the cabal, though, I mean, all of their efforts, from what I've been told, are going to fail. You know, it doesn't matter what they try to do because the tide has turned against them. They've lost the
yes.
they've lost the war. They're trying with these other battles to try to stop things. I don't see them. I don't see them winning. I don't. But no matter what they do.
No, I don't. But you remember what we've always said, Ted, over the last good couple of years. We've said that, you know, the transformation is difficult. It's a choppy ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go on a boat between two countries and you go through storms. You go and land at the other end and get off, but you go through the storm, and that's what we've got. We've got this storm.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Well, there's a lot going on. I guess there's a lot of questions from around the world, from Hong Kong, from Australia, from across the United States, Canada,
oh,
Europe. So
well,
we
let's
have...
do those. That's exciting.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get to them here. Here's one. I just checked my email that just came in. Hi, Ted. Hi, Simon. This is David in Yelm, Washington, of all places. The Beatles were a musical group that had a huge influence around the world in the 1960s. I noticed that their formerly lighthearted compositions started exploring the darker side of life after the year 1966. Was this due to the influence of the Tavistock Institute, as some have claimed? I wonder if it ran the gamut from brainwashing them all the way to replacing members of the group. Thanks for answering my question.
The Beatles were a concept, first of all, of business, of course,
mm-hmm.
but the CIA at the time had more power than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA have lost a lot of ground to the NSA. Remember that in your country, the CIA is seen as the senior intelligence agency.
Right.
Remember that the CIA was formed before the NSA.
That's
not
true.
Much before, but it was right. For and it's seen the senior organization. Now they were charged with originally the CIA were brought in simply to deal with the Roswell situation, to deal with cover up of alien sightings, but the difficulty was that the CIA were still an agency. And as an agency, there was some connection between them and the president. Mm-hmm. And when you have an agency, it means you're an agent of somebody. And so they wanted to detach that role even further. So the National Security Agency, which is only agency in its name, but isn't, mm-hmm. was created. And mm-hmm. The alien agenda was given from the CIA to the NSA, mm-hmm. which then left the CIA with the dirty jobs, which was the assassinations, the drug running, bring down this dictator or bring down a democratic government and put a dictator in. That was the role they were put into. Mm-hmm. And so they were the guys that actually got all of the sort of jobs that we're talking about. And they were the ones who were very interested in the youth culture. Oh. They wanted to do some experiments to understand how you could mind control mm-hmm. large numbers of young people, because the thinking was if you could mind control young people, mm-hmm. then you didn't have to worry about them when they got to 30, 40, 50 years old, because you'd already put them in a pattern. That's so right. They looked at how they would, excuse me, mm-hmm. how they would reach these people, and they did it through music. So the Tavistock Institute was a place that the Beatles did attend, mm-hmm. And shockingly for many people to learn, I'm afraid the Beatles didn't write most of those songs. And escaped me at the moment, but there was one guy mm-hmm. who wrote nearly all of their songs for them. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was done. So you mix that with the Summer of Love, hippie power, flower power, and the Beatles going into that phase. And literally you had a combination of drugs and music and the very early understanding of manipulation of advertising, of promotion. Mm. So it was a CIA-run operation. Yeah, sure, people made a lot of money on the back of the Beatles, but of course that's how it is. That's America. It's about making money.
Oh,
but it was an investigation of control of young people, mm. and it was sort of completely run by the CIA. The Tavistock Institute, which is still going today, right. believe it or not.
Wow.
And they still get money from government. Can you believe this, for working with children?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
wow.
God, yeah. So, like, if you're an orphaned kid, they're still getting grants for that. Now, I don't want to go on too long because I want to be able to cover other questions, but what might your audience might be interested in, Ted, is that back in the 1970s, there was a branch of the Tavistock Institute mm-hmm. in a place in my country called Brighton, mm-hmm. which was in the county of East Sussex.
Okay.
And what's really interesting was that I'd spent most of my childhood in Brighton. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who played in Lord of the Rings. He played the elf, and his name was Orlando Bloom. Mm-hmm. He also has a connection there. And there's a guy who's in prison at the moment called Michael Prince. Mm-hmm. That's his real name. Who also spent time in Brighton. Hmm. So there are a number of people who have made, who've become, names within the alternative industry, mm-hmm. who have a situation with Brighton. Now, bare for the grace of God go I didn't go down the Tavistock Institute route because I had this off-planet connection.
Sure.
But some of these other guys who did not have the off-planet connection did go to Tavistock. So an absolute key, how can I say this? The Tavistock Institute is an absolute key mover of human psychological thinking. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Well, sure. Thank you so much, David, for that question from Yelm, Washington, which is not far from here. With that as well, just a quick follow-up question, Simon. Do you think that the cabal could see us awakening now in this century at this time? And they attempted to get as many people as possible off the ascension process by influencing them through drugs, sex, and rock and roll back in the 60s and 70s?
I think it's even more deeper than that.
Okay.
What's not greatly appreciated mm-hmm. is that humanity nearly broke free sometime between 66 and 69. Mm-hmm. you know, you had the challenge to the Vietnam War.
Right.
You had people putting flowers in soldiers' guns.
Sure.
The system nearly collapsed, but they managed that situation. So it was, you know, humanity nearly broke free then, and the cabal have consistently tried to stay one step ahead.
Sure.
And that's why you've got chemtrails, you've got your regular news broadcast, all the things that awake and aware people shake their head at.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, the ordinary unawake and unaware people just go along in their lives. But the percentage of people awake is increasing.
Yeah.
And they know that. They know that. They've plotted this. They're not stupid.
Right. Right.
They've plotted it. And they know there's going to be a critical point when the number of awake people reaches a critical mass, and then the scales tip. So what these bad guys are doing is just trying to delay it for as long as possible.
Right, right. I know that I used to go down to the San Francisco Bay Area back in the 70s and 60s, not so much in the 60s, but 70s. And back then, there was a lot of activism there. I went to school at Berkeley as well. But now, from what I've heard, the reptilians actually put a base underneath the financial district on Montgomery Street in downtown San Francisco. And the whole emphasis that along with the Silicon Valley boom in the late 80s and 90s, funneling technology into the financial services industry, have made everybody down there more or less interested in money, and there's really not much interested in spiritual ideas down and around the Bay Area. There's other places in California where the consciousness is higher, Los Angeles, there's some good areas there, but I've noticed the change in San Francisco, so I don't go there anymore, but I think things are turning around. And with that, here's a question from Jay from Australia. He writes, humanity and the planet are suffering harm from many sources, chemical, electrical pollution, poisoning of water, vaccinations, GMOs, tracking, you name it. The elite, who know where things are heading, no doubt have well-laid plans to escape and even protect themselves if and when the world descends into a negative chaos. But do you think that they may even suffer the unanticipated consequences of their uncaring attitude toward the rest of humanity and the planet?
This is a question that's not asked enough. You know, too many people just accept what they read on the internet, and they don't have critical thinking. And, you know, if we're genuine, we should always have critical questions. And my critical question's always been, these people that are elite, they have children.
Right.
They have brothers and sisters, and they're breathing in chemtrails. They're being bathed in harmful rays.
Right.
What's the deal here? Because they don't want to kill themselves off. Now, what's happening is that they are looking at their own, I say medication is not the right word really, but they're looking at their own defense mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, for instance, that if you are part of a super elite, you receive instructions. You actually receive instructions. And those instructions are telling you what vitamins you have to take and giving you email addresses, web addresses of places that will only provide the elite with these vitamins. There are special processes that are not inoculations. They're electro devices which help to reduce the effect of all the poisoning going on. So what the elite are doing is trying to destroy humanity, but at the same time attempting to shield themselves and their loved ones as best they can. But ultimately, they're blind because their fallback position is, well, we're going to go underground. That's their stock answer.
Interesting.
Their view is when Armageddon comes along, they'll be fine because they'll go underground. Now, anybody who's studied the history of the Second World War and taken the trouble to read about the life when Adolf Hitler was in his military bunker underground and how horrible it was.
Right.
You've got to be crazy. You've got to be a complete madman to want to do that.
Sure.
But sadly, some of these people are complete madmen.
Well, that's true. That's true. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Simon. That's a good comment. I have a question from Constance in Turkey. She writes some nice things about you, Simon. I'll share them with you. I just want to thank you so much for having a wonderful and special guest like Mr. Parks on your show. He's an incredible person and combines so many characteristics that make him, for me, a utterly unique and most trusted source for spiritual and worldly information. And she asked this question. She's sending you love and strength from Turkey. As a young child and teenager, I would have reoccurring dreams of the final battle between good and evil. It was always a spiritual and physical war we waged. In one dream, our forces were gathering to the appointed place. We would pass each other in the street and immediately know who we were as we asked each other to be there. When the battle took place, it was on a green meadow, and we fought with our minds. I was pulled mentally apart and died in the dream, but that was recycled back at the end of the battle. In all of my dreams, when we thought we had won, something would happen, and the battle would begin all over again. My question, I feel we've been here at this point of overthrowing the control system, and my inner sense says it's the seventh time I've been here to do this. I know this time is different, but this is a good question, how can we best use our skills to make this final confrontation? Your insights and unique knowledge are immensely appreciated.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your very kind words, but more importantly, well done for waking up. Mm-hmm. Well done for not believing all the lies and the nonsense sure. that the system throws at you. So, you know, that's brilliant because you've broken free. Mm-hmm. If we think of the film The Matrix,
right.
the whole theme of that story was that humanity got nearly free and then pushed back again. Nearly free and pushed back again, and it was a great big game of these two forces balancing it out. But the reality was that humanity never broke free. Mm. This time round, and we've just talked about 2012, we've never been through the boundary before. We went through the boundary into 2012, which meant that was a complete game changer.
Right.
Whether the super elite actually appreciated that humanity would do this, whether perhaps they thought we would fall at the final jump, I don't know. But I know for a fact that if you look at the crime statistics for my country, I don't know about the United States, but if you look at the crime statistics in Great Britain, the levels of crime right across the board, from violent crime, muggings, goodness knows what, dropped massively in 2012, 2013, 2014, and only started to rise back up in 2016. So there was a huge change to the energy and the psychic effect on people in Great Britain. I guess that's right across the board. And that's proof positive that something occurred to shift the consciousness of humanity. And what we're seeing today is that good people are getting even better. Mm-hmm. People who are evil are getting even worse. Mm-hmm. And those who sat in the middle are making a choice whether they're going to go to the light or to the dark.
Right.
So we have a situation where the final battle is on us. And, you know, I've never been rude about the Bible, mm-hmm. never, mm-hmm. because there is a lot of truth in the Bible. And you've only got to read Revelations mm-hmm. to understand that what we are being told about is a fight between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And in Revelations, it actually depicts this battle between good and evil. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what's happening on this planet. Mm-hmm. But it's been done until very recently. It's been covert. It's been hidden. Right. It's only in these last few months that even right. the most, I can't say stupid because that would be very arrogant. I don't mean it badly, but the most asleep or unaware person, mm-hmm. even they're beginning to realize that sure. there's something sure. very unusual going on around them. So sure. these are exciting times, and it's been foretold. This time has been foretold.
Wow, amazing, wow. amazing. There's a question from Laurel. I'm not sure where Laurel is, but it's a long email, and talks about David Wilcock's work. I'm sure you're familiar with him, Simon. He
sure.
did a YouTube video, must have been about a week, 10 days ago, that he says that there was an Alpha Centauri base in the inner Earth, and they were living among the people of Paradise, California, that they have white hair, they're taller than us, muscular bodies, but they're human. If in a crowd, you would probably assume that they're human, and they are human, but they look a little different than us. Do you have much information on whether that story is true, and was that an attempt by the negative forces to wipe them out at the Paradise, California location?
Right. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for David Wilcox. You know, I mean, he was the one that got out of Gaia TV.
Right.
And I was one of the guys that got the leaked letter.
Oh, wow.
That he'd done, and I did actually read it out the next day. I was just by chance at a conference in London,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I read it out because the public need to know that. So, mm-hmm. so I'm very happy to also confirm that what he's saying is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I will add to it that there are a number of locations where these beings are at, and one of them, don't be so surprised, is the Nevada base. And these beings regularly go to Las Vegas, and occasionally they will go and play, I don't know what you call it, play the tables. Is that what you guys call it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they will.
Yeah.
They will funny. Go. They go under a chaperone, under supervision.
Right.
And there are people with them, but they will go and they can pass. They can pass for humans, but they have to wear quite heavy clothing. But they can pass. They also have the capability to affect someone's mind. If someone begins to see them, they can, like, you know, change that person's perception. So all I would add is, do not think it's just in one location.
Huh.
There are a number of these locations where these particular race has a base, and they are very familiar with the United States Air Force. And also the Air Force bring in some of the military, not the Navy. The Navy aren't involved in that one. It's predominantly the United States Air Force and the U.S. military. So they've got an ongoing relationship. I hope that's helpful.
Interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that so much. Well, you mentioned letter, and that brings up my own question, actually. And I had several follow-ups. It's kind of the same kind of group of questions regarding these mysterious letters that were received by people like Jeb Bush and George Bush Jr., at the and Hillary Clinton at the George Bush Sr. funeral. They were in white envelopes, and you could visibly see on YouTube anyway, a video of Jeb Bush being visibly upset when he received this envelope. Do you think those were indictments? What do you think?
I think they were. You see, it's hard to for people to understand because of the way it is on this planet. Because of who Bush Senior was, there have been a lot of things that couldn't fall into place until his physical body was gone. And there are two things here. There's his real death and the death that is announced to the public.
I see.
So I believe he died a fair ways before it was announced. And with all of these things, it's about ceremony and ritual. And there's been a ceasefire until the moment that this official death was announced and accepted. There has been a real strong effort to get his soul off the planet. The letters that you refer to, what I've been told, were not indictments, but were statements to the fact that if you think you're going to get away with it, you're not. The deal is off. This is the start of the new beginning, and we are going to basically hunt you down. So that's what I understand those letters.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, well, we'll have to see what happens. I know that you've mentioned several times, Simon, that there are many indictments out there, and that those will start being opened, I assume, next month in January.
Well, it can't come soon enough. I've been saying for about 4 months now that this is the chance to get on and do it. I've always had a concern that, you see, once the indictments are opened in large numbers, there's no going back.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And then the opposing force has got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. So it's not a nuclear war, but it's basically if you release your most hidden weapon, mm-hmm. you've got nothing else afterwards. And the other side then has got nothing to hold back on. So my concern was that the good guys might decide to not open the indictments, but use them as a gambling chip or a bargaining chip, a bargaining tool to say, well, if you don't do this, we won't open the indictments. Mm. Now, the danger with that is that we lose this window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. My view is that these things have to be opened.
Right.
And if they're not opened now,
right.
well, I think we've lost the chance of it. So yeah. they've yeah. got to be opened in the next 6 months. Let me put it to you like that.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the cabal, of course, the negative entities, they want to delay it as much as possible, and that's what they're trying to do. So I hope they are open, Simon. And I'm sure we'll be yeah. talking about that in future shows as well.
Yeah.
In our own media, once in a while, they do have some news, a few things, and they did report that we are withdrawing now from Syria, finally. And also, I read that there is a troop reduction from Afghanistan. I'd love your comments on that.
Right. You've lost one of your generals. He was the Minister of Defense. And it was a very amicable resignation. You know, he didn't storm out the door. He's not going actually till January or February. Mm-hmm. But he was in a very difficult position because he is a general, retired general, and he is looking at the world not now as a general. He's looking at it as a politician. Mm-hmm. And his view was that the troops needed to stay in it's actually in part of Syria, North Syria, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it wanted them to stay there because it's about politics. It's about shoring up a government, a weak government. You know, you put your American troops in and then the government stays in operation. You take your troops out and the government collapses. And he knows that. Mm-hmm. So when Trump withdrew the troops, this guy didn't make a decision as a general. He made a decision as a politician. And so he had to resign. So the question is, why did Trump withdraw the troops? And it's a really simple answer. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. It's because you have a military government in America. Trump is the face of the military government.
Okay.
And the general said, and I quote, "We want the boys home for Christmas." That's
wow.
all it is.
Nice.
Because the generals wanted the boys to be back with their mothers, mm-hmm. back with their brothers and sisters, nice. And wanted them to have Christmas at home. And so Trump brought them back, and that's exactly what it's nothing more, nothing less.
Wow.
That's what it's about.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for explaining that. I know that from that the cabal media, the CNN, for example, has been severely criticizing President Trump on his decision to withdraw from Syria.
You're absolutely right, but I tell you what.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Every father, mother, brother, sister, who's patriotic boy, and there are some women, of course, and let's not forget that in the military,
sure.
Who are out there to know they're coming home for Christmas,
right.
they won't give a hoot
right.
about what these papers say. They'll actually be saying, my family's coming home for Christmas.
Wow.
And that's the point, you see, because the strength for the Constitution is very military. And so the people who are the most vociferous protectors of the Constitution are the rural people, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that have a strong connection to the military. Those who live in big cities tend to have a much more fluid take on the concept of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's a very interesting situation. And yeah. The boys want to come home, and they're coming home.
Yeah, and that's a good decision. I think that's a good decision, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, too, I'll be talking more about this the next hour, Simon, but I received reports several weeks ago that the Pleiadians actually had sent a large contingent of ships from their own constellation, 400 light-years away, from here. They're now on Earth, and the message that I got was they are now getting boots on the ground. In other words, they are some of them coming to intermingle with us here to help in the ascension process, and they've been sending us lots of good energy to help us all wake up. I was wondering if you might have any thoughts on that or any messages about that.
It's an incredibly sensitive and difficult topic. What I can say, and I'm not holding anything back, is just I don't know everything. Of course I don't. I'm sure. just me.
Sure.
But what I can say is that, and I have talked about this for a fair while, mm-hmm. that certain good off-planet entities finally got exasperated with certain people on this planet who'd kept promising that they would be truthful with the populations, and then they reneged on their deal and they made excuse after excuse.
Right.
And so what's finally happened is that these people have said, we're now sick of it. We're just fed up. You've mm-hmm. gone one boundary too far, and we are now going to take the law into our own hands.
Right.
But it won't be an overt invasion, because that's not what the good guys are after.
Right.
But it will be a strengthening of resistance at grassroots level. Mm. So I can confirm that there are off-planet entities now who are no longer in an engagement with any government. That's not true. They are, but they're not sharing information with them. So, for instance, what used to happen was that there would be an exchange of information, such as, we've abducted 500 people this month, mm-hmm. and wow. We're going to just return 200 of them, or we are going to be operating over this area, mm-hmm. make sure you don't have any military aircraft, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. So what's happening now is that these individuals are now interacting in certain key locations, or with groups, or individuals mm-hmm. even, mm-hmm. and they're not informing the governments what they're doing. So that's the difference. That's the difference.
Interesting. That's fascinating. That is just fascinating, Simon. As always, it's fascinating. It's great to talk to you, my friend. There was a report from one of my listeners that there's been heavily spraying in the chemtrails in the Redding, California area. That's just north of Paradise, California. And there was a report before the directed energy weapons were used in Paradise that there were also heavy spraying of chemtrails just before Paradise got hit. And I guess this leads on to another question. Do you think there will be any more directed energy attacks in the Northern California area?
No, not at the moment. No, the link between the two is aluminum.
Okay.
Because you see, if you saturate the forest with aluminum and then you use an energy weapon mm-hmm. or you start a fire, the heat is like mirrors. The heat is reflected by the aluminum
okay.
and acts as a blanket and increases the temperature. And one of the reasons that it was so bad mm-hmm. was because so much aluminum has been dumped over that area
right.
that hugely happened. Now, I don't know whether that was planned years ago, but it seems a terrible coincidence that, you know, that the aluminum is just in a forest area and creates a heat. So I would rather think right. there's a plan on that one.
Right.
No, not at the moment, because when was it Malibu? And what was the other place?
Malibu. It was Malibu, yeah.
Malibu, and there was yeah. Paradise.
Yeah.
These are places that pop stars or music and film people have a second home.
Right, right.
And when they got hit, suddenly every newspaper was covering it.
That's true.
And as soon as that happened, the energy shifted, because it wasn't now these homesteaders
right,
who,
right.
you know, what do you expect? You
Simon,
live out.
Simon, yep. my friend. We're close to the hour. Would you mind staying over a few minutes? And
no, I'm going to go, Ted, because I'm on holiday now.
All right, I'm so sorry, my friend.
It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. I think the audience got the hang of what I was going
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Have a happy Christmas, Ted. Lots of love to you, and lots of love to the audience.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Please stay tuned, my friends, for our next hour. Thanks so much again, Simon, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
And you too.